Blog Talk Radio.
And I got really close again this time. Like, I logged in 2 minutes before. Anyway, I'm Anita, and this is Rambles. And yeah, I put a morbid title because it happened. My co-host, a mini pincher named Superman, died on April 27th. He ran into the neighbor's yard and died. It hurt because he was my friend's dog, and I've been staying with my friends. And he sort of became like my companion because I work from home. I make soaps and also host this podcast. If you'd like to order soaps, you can email me at icaga2004@gmail.com. But yeah, he was around during the day. And no, he did not get into my soaps. So I'm just going to let you know now. But I'm pretty sure if you listen to previous episodes, you'll hear him in the background barking. I still think he would be a better president than the Cheeto-in-Chief. So, yeah, he would sit here and watch me host my show, and we go for walks. Wasn't that bad of a companion. He was only like 10 pounds, but he had a Napoleon complex. He would only attack if you picked him up the wrong way. Other than that, he's like, whatever, I'm here. He had his Devo moments, and by Devo moments, go for a walk, and he would be like, no, I'm going to sit here, and you're going to carry me home. Or he'd turn around. He literally did this, and I have it on my phone. Yes, I'm becoming one of those dog people. He would be like, I am not going in this direction. We are going somewhere else. I don't know what you're thinking. And he would turn around. We don't know what caused him to just die. He just went because he would go outside in the morning. His mom took him outside like a normal day. And he ran away. I was like, why is he running away? 2 days since his last walk. But he would go outside and, you know, play in the backyard. The backyard's big. But he didn't come back. And I went for a walk because I want to get back into a less round shape. I mean, I'm almost middle age. So I was like, I woke up super early, went for a walk, came back, and I was like, have you seen Superman? Nope. I hadn't seen him, you know. I was like, good. So I went back looking for him, and we both looked for him, and neighbors came by, and yeah. So it's hard because he was the closest thing to my first real pet I've ever had. I did, when I was 6, get a dog from the neighbors, but after one night, my mom got rid of that dog, bio mom. Because this was like, again, I was 6 years old. I didn't meet surrogate mom until I was like 18, 19. I think I was like 19. Yeah, I was 19. So anyway, so my mom was in the beginning of her breakdown. So, you know, barking puppy and 6-year-old daughter plus breakdown, something's got to go, and she didn't really feel like getting rid of me. And yeah, I'm making fun of mental illness because I can do that. I mean, I spent time in therapy and I had to deal with her being crazy. I can earn my right to make fun of it. So I got used to him, you know, giving him baths and talking with clients about their dog, because one of my favorite clients has like 2 Rottweilers. So we, you know, talk about his dogs and my dog and even other people. You know, you get to know other neighbors' dogs. Like Superman tried to hump a Rottweiler. Like, we were going for a walk, he met a Rottweiler and was like, I'm going to move. It's not the Rottweiler that was, it's like this little midget dog person. Yeah. He was saner than some people I've met. Really no. And it hurt because you have this attachment to your pets. And before I was around him, I just thought that was, you know, other people thing. Until I had to experience it, you know, you're with this person, well, not person, but sort of person, and it was really sad. And in typical female fashion, I cried to my friends because, you know, then called surrogate mom because, you know, bio mom's very next to her uncle with the I'm sorry, that tombstone's ugly. Like, really. That kept me from, like, really mourning as, like, her death. But I did break down once when my mom died. And then I was like, wait, your tombstone's, that tombstone next to it is ugly. It really was ugly. It was ugly. I didn't dislike her enough to give her an ugly tombstone. I didn't, I'm not going to say I hate her, but another, we had the interesting mother-daughter Anglo relationship because my mother was an Anglophiliac. And yeah, so we didn't hate each other. We loved each other, but it wasn't a sappy love. It was more like, I'm going to go get a pizza. You want one? Okay, sure. Bye. Here's some money. Bye. So that was our relationship. And I called Sarah Gamal when I was in a writing group, vented to her about it. First dog, too, because, you know, that's what you do with your mom. And I bugged one of my gay husbands, because that's another thing you do. When you're a girl and you have a gay husband that you're not bound for with, like, a legal contract, you call him when stuff happens, you know. You break up with a guy, your dog dies. It's the stuff of romance. It's an unofficial rule. You cry to your gay husband. So, I did. And I came back from my writing group and everything, and some more crying. And then we FaceTimed, and I cried. Yep. It was the emotional, and it ebbs and flows. I mean, it's been 2 weeks. Would it be 2 weeks on Thursday? And I'm sort of handling it. It's a day by day, like it fades. And yeah, Sarah's mom was right. All these years, it still feels weird to call her mom. I mean, I call her for Mother's Day and send her cards, but it's still like, I don't know. I have this thing about calling her mom. So she knows that she's like a mom to me, and, you know, been at everything with her. Good, bad, weird, whatever. She's called me stubborn. And she's right. But it's a shock because pets love unconditionally. Well, okay, they have minor conditions compared to people. Like, they want to curl up or be petted on. Because Superman had this thing where he wanted me to carry him to his parents' room when I was getting ready for bed. Or sit on your bed, or go for walks, or bark when you put on shoes. They want you to feed them and water them and walk them. So it's a really easy, oh, and sometimes you have to give them baths and medicine. He didn't have any heart trouble. Or at least we don't think he did. He was crazy. That's security system money could buy. And, you know, minor. It's not like, you know, regular relationships where it's like this person's, you know, where it's pettiness and all this other stuff. Most of the time it's like, he like you. He never tried to lick me. I know that doesn't sound, but no, he didn't. It was like, no. But he would try to, again, take a nap. It's like, why are you curled up on me? Why are you snoring? Yeah, he's snoring. Like, you're 10 pounds. Don't snore. I have this thing, and any relationship with I've had to sleep next to another human being, I can't. I can't deal with your snoring. And sometimes I snore. And I'm just going to say sometimes because I don't hear myself sleeping. And I have caught myself snoring. And I will say it's because I was sick. Because sometimes my allergies mess up and I look like I was out drinking Lindsay Lohan being possessed by Amy Winehouse. And I won. So in those cases, I'm like, yeah, I know I snored. But you know what? I feel horrible. And these drugs have not kicked in yet. So I just have this thing. Any relationship, I can't sleep next to you for long periods of time. I like cuddling. I love cuddling. I love hugs and cuddles and all. I know it sounds so boring. But, and Superman, when I would try to take a nap or something, he'd crawl up like, you snore. And I think there was like one time he didn't snore. And I was like, oh, thank goodness. But I'm so used to like not sleeping with another person. He's little, so I was like, okay, he's not snoring and he's little. I just won't roll my fat behind on him. Love him, good dog. And he's big. He's like near his tree. And I actually, I know, again, this is typical childhood stuff, but I wrote him a note because at the end of the day, he was a companion that I lost. And, everybody lost and it's like getting used to it. So, we had a little ceremony and he's in doggy heaven doing God knows what. But it really changes you. And it takes time. I'm not crying over him anymore because I don't know. But he did sort of, besides the responsibility of having a dog, which is a major responsibility, you have to learn good leadership skills. It's shocking, but it's true because, frankly, they will walk all over you. And again, if you have a little dog with a Napoleon complex, you really have to be dominant. And sometimes he was just stubborn. He's always been stubborn. And, it's like, no, we're going in this direction. And it really wears on your patience. It's like, no, no. You have to read the doggy books and take them to socialize with other dogs so they won't be. And I mean, I used to call him a ferocious. Everybody teased him and called him a ferocious beast. He was not ferocious. He'd bark. And again, only if you. He'd only bite if you pulled him on the wrong leg or like if he had something wrong with his fur and you like picked him up the wrong way. But for the most part, he's like, I'm just going to sit here. Run around and lay here. But you learn leadership. Like, no, you have to be very serious and very not emotionally frazzled to train them and firm, which are skills you can use in any other business. And frankly, maybe if I had a dog when I was younger, and another reason I didn't have a dog as a kid, I had a bad case of impetigo. Lymphatica as a kid, and even up until my early 20s, because my grandpa had cats, and when I would go visit him in Atlanta, sometimes the cats would be around, and I would break out like horribly. I mean, to the point where one of my cousins by marriage, who was a nurse at a dermatologist department, had to give me medication, and the medication had steroids, and I had a bad reaction. Like, your breakout's bad when somebody's giving you stuff with steroids. Oh, and don't act like I'm the only person who's ever received medication from somebody, and my name wasn't on the prescription. It's like this. It was 14 years. It was before my mom died. But my mom's been, bio mom has been dead for 12 years. So it was like, 18, no, I was 19, 20, something like that. Anyway, I'm in my 30s. Your memory goes. So, yeah, I got better with it. And maybe it was because he didn't have like major dog hair. He was like really, it wasn't coarse, like, but it wasn't fluffy dog hair. Like, you know what I mean? It was short hair. If you've ever seen a mini pincher, a little dog, their hair's not that big, not that thick and stuff. So maybe that's why I didn't break out with him. But they're used to each other. He was like, yeah, you're here. Sometimes he would eat his, not the human, but there's also a cat named Dighton. And Dighton actually grieved Superman. And I discussed that with my husband. And we all know when I say husband, I mean my at least one of my gay husbands. I am unmarried, and no, I'm not a spinster. Well, spinster is not a bad term. It originated because single women sewed, so they were called spinsters because they worked with a spinning wheel to make stuff, and they lived alone, and they had their own money. So honestly, I can own the phrase spinster. Anyway, so Dighton decided to grieve Superman by guarding Superman's food because there was a full bowl in the kitchen, and Dighton was like, I'm not eating this. And then there was the big thing of Superman's food, and Dighton spent part of the day with Superman sitting on top. So he grieved in his own way, and he's becoming as nice as a cat can be. I still think the cat should go work for Trump. He could go work there. I mean, let's face it, Scaramucci's out of a job. which amazed so many people. Like, you haven't officially started, and it's not like he's that daycare lady who insulted kids online. Even though, granted, he was not the best person, who had a very, very bad week. That is like the stuff, and everybody said it, the stuff of a country music song. The only thing left, his car did not get stolen, and windows did not get busted. But I guess having your law school have declared you legally dead for a couple of years? Yeah, maybe the truck thing. And as somebody who's been declared legally dead, it's actually sort of funny. And I got to give you the story about how I was declared legally dead. So my bio mom and I have the same first name, Anita. And it's not like a normal spelling or normal name. And she had her social security number. I had mine. Computer glitch sort of mixed it up. And, you know, when your mom dies around Mother's Day, you have to redo financial aid for a public school and all this other stuff. You don't really have a lot of energy to be mad about it. I mean, it's just I have my mom's sense of humor. Or I'm, you know, my friends, because even my other friends are, like, very, not cruel sarcastic, but, it can become cruel sarcastic. So when the customer service person told me, hey, you're dead, I'm like, well, damn, I'm always the last one to know. It's a hard to describe feeling when you've had to do so much stuff. You're just like, I can't even be mad. And she was amazed at the calmness. It's like, I don't have it in me to be mad. I don't have it in me to be upset. I have to find humor in this. I'm like done. And I was around great friends too, because I was also staying with a friend because it was between college and trying to get, it was over the summer and the bio peeps are not, no. And it was like, I'm going to go get something to eat. I think I got some ice cream in the refrigerator. I don't care. Like, I just could not bring myself to care. After that, I was like, okay, you can fix it. Whatever. You know, I'm out of every stressed feeling. So, yeah, that happened. And with Superman, I did, you know. It was the shock of it. Because it was just like a random morning. And I did go through the guilt. Because when you love, that's part of loving somebody and grieving is, it's like those phases of it's you. And when you care about somebody, now if you're a sociopath, you just fake it. But if you're a normal human being, you're like, when it's rent, it's like, well, what if? And those, you don't know what triggered it. It's like, well, like my thought was, well, if I'd have gave him a walk the night before, he wouldn't have had the energy to run in the neighbor's backyard and do it. Or if I'd have taken him for a walk in the morning, he wouldn't have. And that, to me, that guilt is also like a prison, and it won't bring anyone or anything back or change anything. And I'm not sure which one's worse, that or when somebody truly messes up and hurts you and gives you an apology. And it's like, and I've heard my share of insincere apologies, and that's one of the reasons. I mean, I have a level of cynicism towards Christmas because it was some high school stuff, but it really showed me the lack of value. And then something that happened after that when I was working at an emotionally toxic workplace with people, and they gave me some BS apology. And I was like, this changes absolutely nothing. And I'm a pretty mellow person sometimes, but it was like, I don't respect you. And your apology is the most insincere. I don't respect, no. And grief, at least that's legitimate and you can fix it. But you can't fix it. At least when you can put forth a sincere effort, but with grief, it's just unknown. Maybe it was his time. Maybe he knew he was going to go, and maybe he felt like it would be better than, you know, being asleep at, like, having us see it in the house, because maybe that would be worse. I don't know. And a lot of people said that, you know, when animals feel like they're going to die, they run away. And it's a compassion. It's an act of love because you don't want your loved ones to see you die. Yes, loved ones should be able to say goodbye, and you can do it when they're alive. And you can do it when they're dead, too. But it's something about animals, you know, they're innocent. There was some research, I can't remember where it was, but it said dogs have the emotional intelligence of a three-year-old. Not bratty three-year-old like Cheeto, but kind three-year-olds. And everybody's been around a three-year-old, you know. Yes, they can be bratty. Yes, they can be annoying. But they're genuinely good. And they're empathetic. And maybe he knew, and he just did not like the idea of his loved one seeing or waking up to his corpse. I remember when we were going for a walk and he tried to run into traffic. Yes, I kept him on a leash. I was that neurotic dog walker who kept to pick it up, counted how many times he pooped, kept the bag, two bags, wipes, and, you know, kept the schedule of his baths and made sure everything was in order. So, definitely the leash. So, he tried to run, and I was like, he never really tried to do that before. So, I should have. And again, oh my goodness, I'm doing the guilt thing about, well, maybe I should. But looking back, you do wonder. Because he, even if they were like, because he had walked, he wouldn't try to go. And he just went there. Because he used to try to run in their yard. And there were no defensive rules, because they also have dogs. But their dogs know our dog. No, they knew Superman. So they were like, So they tried to let people know, but it didn't work. And there were no wounds. He was just being crazy and probably fell. But he was a cute dog. So cute pictures. And it ebbs and flows. And again, mom, surrogate mom was right. You recover, you know, you grieve. And, or maybe it's just me, because when bio mom died, it took a while for me to feel the level of emotions, because again, go through anger and everything. And they were like, you're calm. And I did go to therapy, like the 1 year mark, because it was a few days after my graduation from college, and I just had a long semester because my mom died the summer before my last year of college, and then the last semester of college, surrogate mom got sick, and then a few days before my graduation, she was in the hospital, so I was like, you know what? I've had a really long, I need a mental break. Like, I'm done having busy stuff to keep me from, like, wanting to be in the corner, crying with some ice cream, listening to the long and run. I don't know why that song reminds me of Bio Mom, but it was like, okay, yeah, I need therapy. And, you know, I talked about it with some therapy. And again, if you ever have anything that you can't handle, do get professional help. Because, okay, good professional help, not, you know, Brian Wilson's therapist kind of thing. And everybody's heard the story of Brian Wilson's therapist. So, yeah, don't get the bad. There are some bad therapists who, you know, and back in the day, you know, would electroshock people for no reason, or their reason was because they were black savages. No, not that one. I mean, a good therapist. Because they're just, like I said in an earlier episode, it's like going to your hairdresser, only sometimes they give you drugs. My therapist never gave me drugs, but just like actively listen. I just listen, but knew how to ask the right questions to help me figure stuff out on my own. She's a really good therapist. I don't know if she's still there, because she was a college therapist, but she was like really good, and it helped me. And it was something, you know, I just need to sit here and vent. I've had a bad year. And that's what I did, and I felt better. And sometimes I would go in for a mental tune-up, and there's nothing wrong with getting a mental tune-up. It really helps develop healthy. It keeps you from spending in bad relationships. I mean, grief counselors and everything, they're a form of therapy. But because it was so long with her being ill, it didn't, when she finally died, it was a, oh my God. I mean, I did have one breakdown in my family bio peeps. Tried to take me to the hospital, and it's like, okay, she died on a Wednesday, and burying her on a Friday, I'm finally processing this. I just need to cry. They were not, no, I wouldn't, if I ever had a human child, not a human child, I got a list of people I would not send, that I would send a human child to before them. And there was that one. But other than that, I didn't. I had so few memories of her being normal. It was like a default of, I've already done my grieving. I've had 16 years of this. From breakdowns to dementia, I was just done. And when you have dealing with anybody with a long illness, there's a level of a significant relief. You're tired. You are emotionally tired as their caregiver and everything else. But when it happens, it's like, I'm sad, but I'm also relieved. And then some people will make you feel guilty, but it's like, are they the ones taking care of them? And you both know that part, and it sounds so cliche, but they're not in pain and they're in a better place and yada, yada, yada. Because depending on if you're agnostic or atheist or Christian, may not believe in heaven or hell. But if it's a random, you're left with the unknown. And that unknowingness, I'm not sure if that's a word, it hurts. It will drive you crazy. And oddly enough, the random death is better for the deceased because they're not in pain. It's quick. Or it's like, okay, you know, maybe they know on a subconscious level. Conscious, or maybe he didn't know on a subconscious and he was like trying to like expedite it. But even with people, you know, if you found out you've got cancer and no cure, and do it is, you know, up a bottle. I'm not advocating that. But I can understand the people who choose euthanasia because you just do not feel like dragging it out. Also, and then you're all in this negative vibe of tea partiness. Again, not really a word. And I just got the 90-second warning. So anyway, the random heart, because it creates this feeling. And as a pet owner, your pets become your family. And until you've experienced, especially pets you can touch, like I'm sorry, I don't think of fish as pets. They're pets because you have to like take care, but you don't cuddle, you don't talk to them. You can buy a moving painting. That's what I think of. They're feed and light and change the water for. I'm like, those are not real pets. I'm sorry, maybe it's an elitist thing, but I don't consider having a fish having a real pet. And you can't take them out of the water. Cats, I'll even consider snakes. And I have a fear of snakes. I'll consider a tarantula a pet because, you know, they have fur. You can pet their fur. But when you just get so used to taking care and nurturing, it becomes your baby. And it's the equivalent of saying my baby's dead. And maybe that's why so many people, like, when they go, they want, because your pets love you. And maybe it's a codependent love, but who knows? Anyway, I'm Anita. This is Rambles. Thank you for listening. Sorry for the 16, 15 seconds of dead air. Bye.